You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad to be here today. I'm so glad you're joining us. So I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Listen, our guest today is Emmy-nominated writer and author Marty, or better known as Marty Kine. We're so excited to have Marty on board. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about his newly released book, Bad Dog, A Love Story. So it's a memoir about his struggles with sobriety and taming and his unruly burner, his Bernese mountain dog named Ola. So I'm interested to find out more about Ola, and had a lot of experience with burners. They're a great, great breed, but definitely can be a little temperamental as well. So we want to talk to Marty a little bit about that. But first, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about something I think everybody needs to be aware of, but probably don't always think about, which is trust funds for your pets. Trust funds and wills for your pets. You know, often when preparing a will, we as humans, we think about our friends and our family members, what we want to leave them, their precious heirlooms that we have, our little trinkets that we want to leave behind, and also decide what percentages of the money that's remaining will go to our different relatives. But, you know, I think a lot of people have never thought about what would happen to your pets if you were to pass away before they do. And something you definitely need to consider. You can't simply trust or expect your best friend or your relative to take care of everything. And even if they do decide to bring your pet into their home to live, you know, you have to ask yourself, will they be able to pay for all the expenses of a pet, especially in its later years? That's why, you know, I really recommend having in your will the details and having a pet trust fund in place, detailing what should happen to your pet should they outlive you, and establish the trust fund to cover the costs. You know, like trust funds for human family members, trust funds for your pets can be set up in order to provide for the beneficiary's care when the pet owner dies. So these are formal agreements that can be set up way in advance. There are legal firms and lawyers that can set these up and make the arrangements. So the arrangements can be made as to who will the pet's new caretaker be, as well as what funds should cover the rest of cover your animal for the rest of their lives. Typically, you know, the funds are set aside and normally dispersed on a monthly basis for the caretaker to take care of your pet. And most people leave the caregiver a separate percentage or dollar amount for making sure that the animal is cared for properly. So it's something you should definitely consider if you haven't got your own will in place, and definitely get that in place, but also include your pet, set up a trust fund in advance. And to find out more about pet trust funds, you can visit my blog on Pet Life Radio. Go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on the Animal Rights blog, and that will give you more information and give you some sites to go and check it all out. So set up your trust funds for your pets and make sure they're well taken care of when you're not here. So food for thought, a little advice from your Uncle Tim here. So everybody hang tight. We're going to come right back with Marty Kine to talk a little bit about his new book. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List, that you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/rights and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/rights, W-R-I-T-E-S.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to kidsfootlocker.com and enter the code AFANW1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at kidsfootlocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out in the world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is Tim Link, your host. I'm so glad you're here with us today. Joining me now is award-winning journalist and author Marty Kine's going to be coming here, and Marty wants to talk to us a little bit about his recently released book, Bad Dog, A Love Story. Marty, thanks for coming on to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Good to be here, Tim.
Well, we're glad to be here. Now, listen, I say I have to feel guilty because when I got a copy of your book, I took it with me to lunch, and I sat down at the local Irish pub, and I started reading through the book, not really fully knowing what I was to expect in the book. But so talking a little bit about sobriety when I'm sitting in an Irish pub, so I'm feeling a little bit bad about that. But I tell you, it's a great story. I love how you started it off. I love how it jumped right into talking about Ola and the history behind it. So, you know, tell our listeners a little bit about the book and how'd you come about writing it.
Yeah, it's a hybrid kind of a book, actually. It's a story of sobriety's recovery. It's a true story, I should start out by saying. Mm-hmm. And it's called Bad Dog, A Love Story. And the title Bad Dog works on a couple of levels because I'm a bad dog in a sense. I talk about in the beginning, I sort of bottom out and start to get sober. And then I have this dog, this Bernese Mountain Dog you mentioned, who is a little bit of a menace and is unruly. And mostly it turns out because I don't know anything about dogs. I don't know how to handle her. She's too much of a dog for me, and it's my own ignorance that's causing her behavior. So she's acting out. I'm acting out. And the book itself is a story of how I set a goal for us, which is that we're going to attain our American Kennel Club Canine Good Citizen certification, which is the 10-step certification of good manners and training. And basically the goal is to just have a nice family pet. But if you'd seen where both of us started, it was almost impossible. That goal seemed as far away as an Olympic gold medal. But we, you know, through the course of the book, various trainers, we go to a training camp. I went through probably 6 or 7 different trainers and practicing all the time. And meanwhile, getting myself together mentally, spiritually, and so on. And in the end, we take the test. And so it's a story of how we go from kind of zero to our own version of hero.
There you go. Yeah, and you know, one of the things I found fascinating is, you know, when you talked about looking at this from different levels and the terminology of bad dog, but also when I was reading it, it was like not only was Ola taking the test to get the AKC certification, the good citizen passing that test, but also as you start progressing in your life and as things get a little bit more leveled off for you and get on track for you, that's about the same time everything was getting on track for Ola as well.
It's very much, it goes together. And it kind of surprised me, you know, it's not in the beginning that I realized that you need to be kind of together as a dog owner to have a dog who's together. It's fascinating because, I mean, I'm sure that you and your listeners know that dogs are extremely perceptive. They know more about us than we know quite often. And I think it's just because they're so good with body language. They don't listen to the blather, you know. I was perfectly good at saying all kinds of stuff, but feeling something completely different. The dog doesn't know what I'm saying, but she could definitely pick up on how I'm feeling. So I start out kind of a wreck, you know, anxious and nervous and upset all the time. And that, she mirrored it. She became anxious, nervous, and upset. And so I say in there, you know, in order to get a well-behaved dog, in order to straighten her out, I had to straighten myself out. And that's a lot harder than, you know, getting a treat and teaching her how to sit. It's almost like a self-reprogramming or a spiritual journey. So that was the most eye-opening thing about dog training. And I even have an epigram in the beginning of the book from one of my favorite writers of all time, a dog mystery writer, owns Malamutes named Susan Conant, and she says in this quote I have that dog training is a little bit like Zen, that you need to, you know, if you're jumpy, your dog's jumpy. If you're nervous, your dog's nervous. And I think that's very true.
Absolutely. You know, I talk about that all the time when working with clients and their pets. They pick up on the energy. They know what's going on, yeah. And they try to actually deflect that energy and wake you up to the fact that, hey, you need to straighten yourself out before I can become a great dog. But, you know, after a while...
Yeah, I had a trainer who said a lot of times people will be walking their dog and they'll come up against another dog walker, and the dogs, if they're on leash, will sometimes kind of get aggressive with each other. But it's often the owners who are nervous, and they lean forward and become nervous. They're like, oh, my dog's going to be upset here. And that, the owner's behavior is causing that aggression. So it's not the dog so much, it's us, you know?
Exactly.
I always say, there's no bad dogs, really. There's bad owners.
Exactly right. And they do. I mean, we set that tone in advance, and they don't disappoint us. They are like, oh, our owner, you're anxious, so I'm going to be a little bit anxious as well.
Totally, yep.
Now, the process of writing this book, now you've written novels in the past, and this is more of a memoir. How's this process of writing this book different? Was it easier or more difficult? Just give us an idea of that.
This one is a lot more personal. The first book I wrote was kind of a business book, a little bit of a satire, but it was about being a management consultant. And it's being turned into a series by Showtime, actually. It's called House of Lies.
Wow, fantastic.
And then the second book I wrote was pure satire. It was just almost like a joke book. And this one is, you know, I think it's sort of lighthearted in a sense, but it's pretty dark. I mean, I don't pull any punches here in the beginning when I'm talking about going around the city in an inebriated state. Hopefully none of your listeners can relate to that at all, but it's dark and I have my wife actually leaves me at a certain point, and I didn't hold back on all that. And so it was very difficult to write. I'm very worried about the reception with my family, and so far everyone has been very nice about it. But it's a raw kind of a book, and even, you know, to be honest, to admit that I had a dog I couldn't control or couldn't handle, that's embarrassing. it's sort of, you know, almost humiliating to think, oh, I can't handle my dog. But it's true.
Well, I think that the latter part you need not worry about, because I think that it's a lot like golf. 99% of the people out there are hackers, so I think it's the way it is more for dogs. Definitely. So.
Yeah, that's true. They may not want to admit it, but it's true.
It's absolutely true. You hit it spot on. You know, this book is not your typical warm and fuzzy man meets dog, man falls in love with dog, dog saves the world type of thing. It really is more about the lessons and the journey that you guys have taken so far. And so tell us, when everybody reads this, what are you hoping everybody will gain out of it?
There's a couple of things. I mean, one is that I definitely wanted to target people who were like myself, who were having trouble with alcohol. And we're kind of ashamed and hiding it. And I'm hoping that some people will read it and kind of relate to me and decide to get some help for themselves. I get it through a group program. There's a lot of ways. So there's that level. And then on the second level, though, on the the dog training level, I learned so much in this process about how much responsibility I took on in acquiring this dog. I love the dog. But you can't just get a dog without learning something about how to talk to the dog, how to communicate with it, and also what she needs from me. I had no idea. I had no idea I needed to take so much responsibility for assuming negotiating the world so that she could relax. I was just letting her do her thing and said, oh, I'll let her be free. But I was actually being lazy and giving up on taking control and sort of making her feel safe and letting her know what's okay and not okay in the human world. And there were a lot of just pure dog training knowledge that I didn't know. And I think if you're going to get a dog, particularly a dog that's not kind of docile and roly-poly by nature, if you got a type A dog, as I had, quite a handful dog and a smart one, it's an effort. You got to make the effort. You must rise to the challenge. It's like having a child. You can't just assume it will raise itself. Want to get that message across loud and clear to people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I talk to people all the time that first of all, you need to make sure you're prepared for it mentally and physically to be able to do it. So, so as a human companion for the animal, you got to be in the right place and frame of mind.
Yeah.
But you also have to be cognizant of the type of animal, the type of breed. And, you know, Bernese Mountain Dogs, they are very, very smart, but super high energy. They're working dogs, so you got to get them out there. And if you're not prepared for those two things, then maybe you should wait just a little bit longer.
Yeah, you forgot to mention they're big.
They're big. So, yeah, if you haven't quite taught them all the canine good citizenships through the AKC, they can be quite a challenge.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. And my dog almost weighed more than my wife. So that'll give you a sense of what their walks were like.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Marty, hang tight here. We're going to go to a break. But after the break, we're going to continue our conversation with Marty Kine. Talk to him a little bit more about his book, Bad Dog, A Love Story, and talk about Ola. So we're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PETMEDS. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PETMEDS, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
I play tennis because I love to. But inside, I want to win. Take away the court, the net. I might not be a player, but I'll always be a competitor. Lady Foot Locker understands that.
Lady Foot Locker, the first to carry Adidas off-court shoes and the gear that goes with them.
If you play your best, there's no regret.
Lady Foot Locker, one place, every woman.
Go to ladyfootlocker.com and enter the code AFANW1LF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2LF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at ladyfootlocker.com.
Would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. Is the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm so glad you joined us today. We're here with Marty Kine talking about his book, Bad Dog, A Love Story. Now, Marty, tell us a little bit about the subtitle, the love story. What is it that you have gained from this, from love for Ola or love for animals? Give us a little bit of history behind that.
Well, it's sort of interesting, actually, because getting this dog wasn't my idea. I was on the road a lot at the time for work, and my wife got the dog as a companion, really. And this was when I was still drinking, so I was ignoring her. And so the dog was a companion for her. And I was not a dog lover, to be honest. As a kid, I didn't have dogs. And I was kind of afraid of them, but I didn't admit it to myself. So it didn't start as a love story. And when little Ola was a puppy, I remember I used to call her the homunculus, just a word for like a little monster or something. But she really was. I mean, she was a little terror running around. And as I said, both of our, my wife and I, our ignorance of dogs was colossal, although we didn't know it. So it started out very much like I was like, you know, I wanted to keep the dog, and I thought the dog was cute, certainly a very good-looking dog. I did not start out loving the dog, and little by little, you know, she wormed her way in. I think it's just her her spirit. I say in there she has a Broadway spirit, but she has so much energy, and she's just loves life so much, which was exactly the opposite of me. She was totally in the moment, every moment, you know, living to the fullest, as you know, loving a dog. And I was always in some other moment, living life to the, what is the opposite of fullest? The least full.
Right. Impressed.
So, there's something very attractive about that energy. But, you know, within a few months, I found that I was like, I can't believe I love this dog. And then it became, when you love something, as you know, it becomes a commitment. So it becomes a relationship. And then all of a sudden, I had to say, all right, well, what are we going to do about getting our lives together? So it really is a love story, and it also alludes to another book I read some years ago called Drinking, a Love Story by Carolyn Knapp. It was a best-selling memoir, and it was one of the first books I read where I could relate to the author as someone who wanted to get sober. So I sort of wanted to pay an homage to that, as well as talk about the dog and the relationship that really is, it counts as love with the dog. So that's what that's about. And also I wanted to say, you know, a bad dog is a harsh title, because it sounds like I'm judging the dog. If you read the book, you realize I'm actually talking about myself. I'm the bad dog. But I wanted to balance that out with something, you know, more positive. It is a love story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think it's a great title for the book. And obviously, it's giving you a new perspective on not only dogs, but just life in general, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, it's spiritual. It really is. And they say dog spelled backwards is God. And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty funny. But there's something to it. It's hard to define, but I think I get at it a little bit. I have another epigram there from C.S. Lewis where he says, paying attention to anything outside yourself is taking one step away from utter spiritual ruin. And in my experience of training Ola was that she got me outside myself. And I think that for many of us, particularly for me, my self-centeredness, my selfishness was the root of my problem. And I needed to become focused on something. And then I started with her and then hopefully moved on to others, you know, as well. But it's a shift away from selfishness.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I tell people that when they ask me questions like, you know, does my dog hate me? Do they resent me? Do they do this? And I tell them that, you know, no, because animals in general, they don't deal with those ego qualities that us humans have. They don't, you know, have hatred, and they don't have spite, those type of things that, you know, those are human characteristics that we carry around. So if we're to live a great life, then we should live a dog's life. And I think that's the key behind it.
Well, I love how she doesn't bear a grudge at all. You know, I mean, Ola can have a bad moment, but a moment later, it's totally gone. You know, now she's on to the new thing. So there's no like sitting around fuming, worrying about what she should have done yesterday and all this stuff that we people get involved in.
That's true.
Regrets and all that stuff.
You know? That's right. And we spend thousands of dollars in therapy trying to overcome when we should just pick up a bone and move on to the next thing.
Tell me about it. Oh, I would have saved so much money.
So I know the first part of the book, Marty, you were talking, and we briefly talked about the canine good citizen test that the AKC has, which is great. I do a lot of work with the AKC, and they have a great program in place. Tell us a little bit about those 10 steps, and were there certain ones that were harder to master either for you or for Ola?
Yeah, it's an excellent test, and I actually got to interview and talk to the woman at the AKC who runs that test now, Mary Birch, and who's a great animal behaviorist. And she said that the reason that this test was in place, and it's been around since 1989, was just that a lot of dogs who are abandoned to shelters are abandoned because of behavior problems that are correctable. So, in essence, if people just learned how to talk to their dog and train their dog, they wouldn't have to abandon them. They could keep them. And so the idea behind this test was to not do competitive obedience. It's not a title, but it's really to create a dog that's a nice family pet. So the steps involve things like greeting a friendly stranger. The dog has to sit by your side as someone comes up and shakes your hand and can't jump all over the person. The dog has to have a neat, a tidy appearance. The dog has to be able to sit and just very basic commands. Stay. You have to be able to leave the dog with a trusted stranger for a few minutes and the dog doesn't freak out because of separation anxiety. So all of these things sound easy enough until you actually try to do them in the ring. And then they become, you have to walk on a loose lead. I would say most dogs can't do these things without some training. My dog required years. I should say my dog and me required years of training.
There you go.
The hardest one was actually for her, being left with a stranger when I walked away. She had a very hard time. Apparently she liked being with me. So she cried and cried and cried. We had to break that down. I would leave for a second and come back. Then I would leave for 2 seconds, that kind of thing. But that was very hard for her.
Yeah, the separation anxiety is usually the biggest challenge that run into with the dogs. But I think it's great you went through the process because it is a wonderful process, a good program they put together. And getting them socialized early on is, I think, very critical.
Yeah, it really is. I think, and the loose lead thing is very nice because if you can walk your dog around and they're not pulling on the lead, outside when their car's around and all kinds of dangers, you have more control over the dog, so the dog is safer. And I think that to instill that early on, because people forget about that. They're like, oh, the dog is going to pull. It's just the dog. To instill that early on, to keep them by your side, to keep them looking up at you attentively, that's a wonderful thing to do for the dog itself. It just it increases their safety, I think, about, especially if you live, I lived in New York City, that's pretty urban.
Yeah, you definitely have to keep a close lead in that type of situation.
Yeah,
it is a great thing. And, being able to walk the dog is a great thing as well, not only because it gives physical stimulation for the dog, but it also gives them mental stimulation.
Yeah.
And it's a great great bonding situation as well for you and the dog.
Actually, also, dogs need a lot of exercise, I think, more than people know. I mean, I'm sure you know that, but dogs are designed to walk a lot, and we just need to get them out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to get them out there in different environments and get them walking. I talk to clients that live in a little bit more of a suburban area with a big backyard fenced in, and that's fantastic, but that's not really giving them the constant physical stimulation or that mental stimulation that they need. So doing a combination of both is a good thing for the dog.
Just like us. We need exercise, too.
We do. Instead of sitting there, we get great thumb exercise with the remote control.
It's true.
That's right. Well, Marty, I would appreciate you coming on board today. I want everybody to pick up a copy of the book, Bad Dog, A Love Story, Martin Kind's book. It's just a great book. I think it gives people a different perspective, but it's one of those type of books that starts off in shambles and ends up being victorious at the end. So I want everybody to pick
happy
the book.
Ending.
Happy ending. We all like happy endings. You can go to the website, baddogbook.com. Of course, it's available nationwide as well. Marty, thanks for coming on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio today.
Oh, thanks a lot, Tim. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Pleasure. So we're coming to the end of the show today. So I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I also want to thank Martin Kind for coming on board. It's a pleasure talking to him today. Talk to him about his book, Bad Dog, A Love Story. So everybody pick up a copy of that book. You will not be disappointed. Thanks to everybody for listening today. Thanks to our sponsors and producers for putting on a fantastic show and helping us out here. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and our other guests that I have interviewed or will be interviewing, check out Animal Rights Show on Pet Life Radio. Go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on Animal Rights, and you can find out more and download some of these great interviews we've had. And while you're there, be sure to check out all the other hosts and all the other shows on Pet Life Radio. So go to PetLifeRadio.com. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, please email me. You can email me at Tim@PetLifeRadio.com. That's Tim@PetLifeRadio.com. And I'll be glad to answer any questions you've got, entertain any comments you have, and look to bring the best guests possible, people you want to listen to most onto the show. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, share it in a blog, article, or a book, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.